15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio on this Wednesday, January the 13th. This could be a lucky day. And I'm asking all of you to contact family members and friends that live in the tri-state area and ask them to tune into 860 AM radio. And if they live outside the area, you can go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. I also want to remind everyone that in case somebody wants to listen another time, we have a lot of those kinds of people. They listen at night, in the afternoon, some people work. They listen by going to the click on the radio broadcast link anytime. Just go there, and it has all the past links from our broadcasts. Well, it's going to be an interesting show today. And, of course, I'd like to welcome our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course I have greetings today from Curtis Ellis, who is out promoting the America First Project. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, always very proud to be with you, welcoming your ideas and your suggestions, trying very hard to focus on what's important to us. Well, I want to just say to you, we've been through some very difficult days. We've been watching in awe what's been taking place in the United States of America. But as I say so often, our main focus is to bring attention to the needs and concerns of America and American workers, and also discuss some of the things that are in the news that concern us. And of course, we're going to have to do a lot of new things very shortly to make sure that the new administration and all of their appointees in Washington, D.C., do focus on our theme, which is support American made first. Now, I wanted to clarify something important. We're not interested if you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent. We're interested if you're a person promoting the people in America to support American made, because getting any product to the place where you purchase it, whether it's at a store or on the internet, requires a lot of jobs to get that product from the point of production to the point of sale. The more we see an American-made label, of course, the more we benefit, the more our friends, family, neighbors, children, grandchildren, their families and friends will all benefit in the end. The fact of the matter is it's going to take a lot more time and a lot more effort to get jobs up and running in the United States of America. And I say that mainly because I see from my own efforts in contacting people in the media, all they want me to do is advertise. And that is one of the things they discourage, is people just getting some kind of publicity to get the good message out. There are many quality people. However, they have superiors at the top that want to focus on the chaos in America, and they're not concerned about jobs, and they're not concerned about small businesses. All they are is concerned about their advertisers, who a lot of them represent foreign producers and foreign merchandisers, who don't want efforts like the Buy American Made campaign and all of our other efforts, radio program, the whole deal, not to succeed. To them, we are a thorn in their side, and I think we're going to have to become more vocal about that. And in the future, we are going to have to become a real vocal point. As Larkin Conley said a few weeks ago, our effort is going to be one of the most important efforts moving forward. My last thought is we have to allow the newly elected leadership to show us their focus for America. I know what the national news media does. In fact, every area of the news media can influence its people in a certain way. Ours, of course, is promoting America and American workers, and they do their thing. We have to see what type of people the new administration will be bringing in. Will they be there to serve the people or serve the media or whoever they're going to be doing? As far as the sad actions of a small number of protesters that attended the Capitol rally last Wednesday morning, we were here, we didn't know any of this was going to happen, which caused now a great amount of tension here in the United States. And I feel that they really have to investigate the whole thing, interview all the people that they've arrested, and that's quite a bit of them now, and to see exactly what motivated them to come. Were they really supporters of the president, or were they people put up to go there and cause chaos? As I looked at a lot of the photographs of the rally that took place a few hours earlier, I didn't notice that there were all these individuals with guns and clubs and hammers and all that sort of stuff that were ready to go to the Capitol. It seems that they were already gathering at the Capitol while this rally was taking place. So I think for the benefit of all of us, we have to hear what these people are going to tell us in depositions, what motivated them to come there. And also, talking about the national news media and Twitter and all Facebook and all, if they knew that these people were gathering for any type of negative protest, they should have got that to the FBI and all other security agencies within the United States of America. The fact that these people were allowed to already prepare way in advance, I understand it was way a week more or more in advance that they already knew that they were a certain level of people coming to the nation's capital to destroy and do whatever they had to get attention. And because this particular individual had not had all of his time last week, I'm going to turn first to the ever popular Rich Logis. Rich, tell us everything. What are you seeing, and how are we going to help American workers?
How are we going to help? Good morning, Michael and Larkin, our audio engineer, Mark, our listeners. How are we going to help our American workers? 10th Amendment.
Tell us what the 10th Amendment represents to you.
States' rights. States' rights. Congress is gone. Washington is gone. So the only pathway forward is what your state legislature and your governor, in tandem, what they do. It's why I am most sorry for Curtis and Mark. Curtis is in New York City, which is just a Democrat, Ellingtonian wasteland of barrenness. Mark, where you live specifically, Mark, isn't that way, but your state is. Where you and Henry are, Michael, you guys are somewhat in the middle here. You've got a state legislature that, granted, is majority Republican, but doesn't, as evidenced by Election Day, what happened, doesn't seem to really have any idea what the hell's going on. Your governor is just Gavin Newsom and Andrew Cuomo light, which means that me and Larkin are in the strongest position. So it sounds illogical, Mark, but the best pathway to Maine in America is the 10th Amendment. The Congress, which will soon be a uniparty, is preparing to likely, and of course they're helped by the worthless Republican Party, Larkin, the national GOP. The Congress, Michael, with soon to be President Biden, is preparing an even larger influx and importation of foreign workers, foreign laborers. All of the gains made with China for manufacturing, trying to help those the workers here, Mark, those are all going to go away. So it's not going to happen through Congress. It's going to happen through state sovereignty. That's the pathway going forward, Michael. So the pathway to Made in America is really more through your state where you're based, because on the national level, the Congress is now simply a one party Congress. That's what it is. So you have to ask yourself, you're going to take your chances on Made in America, American workers, etc., on a one party Congress, and that one party Congress has plenty of assistance from the other second party, which is just a de facto second party. It's just a party in name only. So I'm sorry I don't have better news to start our day off today, but that's what it is as I see it.
Well, Rich, I want to just add, because I've been following all the campaign themes and the discussions, and I want to see the reactions to the Buy American Made message by the new administration. Joe Biden, as a candidate, made it very clear during the campaign that he was going to promote American Made, Buy American, and Build Back Better. His statement clearly states the Joe Biden Jobs and Economic Recovery Plan for Working Families stated, Joe Biden believes that there is no greater economic engine in the world than the hard work and ingenuity of the American people. Well, that's all I want to hear from him. That's what he campaigned on. I don't care what president is in office, what they campaigned on, we have to hold them to. I mean, we did not know what past presidents were going to do. We went by their words. Some did nothing, some did more. And this campaign theme is in writing. Nobody has more respect, according to Joe Biden, for the working men and women who get up every day to build and sustain this country, or more confidence that they will meet the challenges that we face in America in the future. Though we face a lot of things in this country, getting jobs back, keeping those tariffs on, making sure that all those regulations don't get put back on, and start the government, number one, everything they buy should be made in America. I told people, I appeared on a number of radio stations during the Christmas holidays, and I told people, look at every gift that you're opening. Where was it made? Who did it benefit? We're constantly promoting on this program to get those jobs back here in the United States. For 40 years, I know why these foreign merchandisers don't like me, or you, or any other person promoting the Buy American Made campaign, because it means to them they're going to get less. They have contracts with these foreign countries to make these products, to bring them here to America, to sell them. They want to knock American businesses down. Just look what happened during the pandemic with all the stuff being bought online and sent to your home. No problem. You don't have to walk in the store, the mall, or anywhere else. But as I told people on many stations that I was interviewed, I said, as you open your Christmas packages, look at where the product is made. You know, Sesame Street is a perfect example. Sesame Street started in America, and yet every child's toy for the holiday, open it up, made in China, manufactured in China. It's enough to drive you insane. How did that happen? Fast-talking foreign merchandisers came and said the following: why should you go through all that time and effort paying people, having a warehouse, when we can bring it in? All you have to do is ship it out to the people you're supplying. You make money, we make money, everybody's happy. There's only one problem with that. Foreign workers got the jobs, and our people got unemployed or no advantage of employment possibility. None. And poverty in America grew. How did we let that happen? It's not just in the last 10 years. This is over 35 years this has been happening in the country. And people in Washington, especially some of those that have been around too long, and I mean too long, you know who I'm talking about. I don't want to start today. Somebody laughed last week when I, blah, 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 you know who I'm talking about. The man who hurt our American workers who needed that additional fund to try to keep themselves, you know, without going into debt. No, they don't understand. These people should have no salaries for 6 months and let them learn what the American people, the American business owner is suffering through right now. If you have no business, how do you pay your rent, your electricity, your insurance, your water bill? If you're a restaurant, you're a store. They don't understand that. They go to Washington, they want to be prima donnas. You know, look who I am, I have this, I go to exercise clinics, I go to get a haircut, I do all this rigmarole. They have no idea. They do not live in the real world. And with that, I'm going to turn to Larkin Conley. Larkin, I have to tell you this before I forget. You asked the question, how many foreign countries would give money to the United States from their taxpayers? A good young lady who listened to the show asked me this question, and I'm going to ask you. She said, ask Mr. Larkin, how many countries could he convince their legislatures, their parliaments, their congresses to appropriate their tax dollars the way America's Congress was convinced to give money all over the world? Good morning, Larkin. Tell us everything.
Good morning, Michael. How are you? Good morning to the remainder of our panel and to all of our friends in the airways. I've got a bad echo going on here, but I think I can talk my way through it. What a week. I mean, this is a pretty amazing issue which has occurred. It started with the start of the 117th Congress, in which Nancy Pelosi, the brain trust that she is, got reelected after Congress looked at what how miserable a performance she gave us in the 116th Congress. They elected her to be the Speaker of the House for the 117th. And what did she give us? Immediately, the day that she got elected, what did she give us? She gave us a bill that eliminated the words mother, father, son, daughter, brother, and sister from any terms, bills, or material coming out of the United States Congress. That's what she gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bill. It's rules, and the Congress will vote on its new set of rules. But you know, the terms would be replaced by with parents, child, sibling,
guardians.
I don't. Yeah. Guard. It's.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy. Hey, Nancy. Thank you for that extremely important piece of legislation that you've proposed, your first one up. It's just kind of stupid. What else?
Larkin, I want to ask you before you go on to your next statement. I would like to see what plan we could come up with to ask Nancy to give us a plan of action of how she's going to promote jobs in America, promote jobs in the state, and bring about a quality of life for people, not look have people looking for government handouts, but for allowing them to be employed, earn job skills, and do that not because she can do it, but do it by promoting that through the states. Make a little legislation that says in order for the state to get these kinds of funds, they have to show us that they are getting people ready for jobs, they are getting people off federal programs, working age and able-bodied people. I mean, let's do something sensible everything that I hear about these people for years, it's not just in the last 10 years, this has been going on for years and years, as they live in a bubble. It's really a bubble. And the last week shows us again that it's been a total hate fest, an ugly fest. It's nothing, leader. If she got up there and said, we are doing this because it's harming America's economy, because it's harming American workers, because it's harming America's youth, well, maybe people could say, oh, well, then that's understandable. But just to get up there because it's a hate fest between a few national leaders that hated each other for years, well, this is what it's about. Sorry, Larkin.
Well, no, I agree, Michael. And I would say this. This bing-bang process that they've taken against Trump here it's silly, and it's stupid, and it's very, very political. And you can tell that by the fact that there's no hearings, there's no nothing. They're just absolutely going to bring him to trial and declare him guilty. And we even have Republican leadership that's going to do the same thing, which is, listen, that's whatever. But it's politics as usual is what it is.
Right.
It has nothing to do with anybody being a statesman or doing something to the benefit of America's future. It's orchestrated by the ominous Nancy Pelosi, and now it's impossible for me to speak about this political hack that carries the name Pelosi as she takes a victory lap and deciding on taking this country for a ride where the embers of discontent are in the middle fire, and she's going to dump a bucket of gasoline on it to get the last political gut punch in before Trump steps aside. It's absolutely despicable, and it's embarrassing to me. I'm going to hearken you back to time in the past when Nixon left office. Gerry Ford was made president, and Gerry Ford had an opportunity to bring criminal charges, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what kind of charges that would have taken the country through another year of political discontent, of making sure that Dick Nixon went to jail. And Gerry Ford said, enough is enough. He surrendered in disgrace. He left office. He's never coming back. And listen, Trump can't run in 24. He'll be 79, 78, 79 years old. Hopefully, in 4 years, we realize that this country's being run by a bunch of 80-year-olds, and we kind of get away from that. Please, for the Lord's sake. But Gerry Ford said, enough is enough. And he issued a pardon for Dick Nixon, which killed everything. It's just done with. Hmm. And believe it or not, if you recall those days, and I unfortunately do, the country recovered very, very quickly.
Well, you know, Larkin, I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, as you're saying that, you know what that comes to my mind? If they do this impeachment or whatever, it'll just aggravate the people who feel Donald Trump did a good job. Now, what Donald Trump did as a good job, which whether you want to admit it or not, he did not take America into any wars. That is number one. He brought unemployment down to an all-time low. He placed American workers first. He put tariffs on products coming from overseas, and those dollars were used wisely to help support programs that were going to help American workers. There was a lot
Michael,
of
can
things.
Can I ask Larkin something?
Yes.
Can I ask Larkin something before we get to Mark? So, Larkin, and this is a serious question, because I didn't watch any of the hearing. I didn't watch any of the electoral vote counts last week. And at the time, I didn't watch the president's speech. But I did go back and watch it, because everybody kept telling me that he incited an insurrection against the government of the United States, Mark. So I thought, well, that's probably unequivocal, right? I mean, if you yell fire in a movie theater, it's not really subject to too much interpretation, right, Larkin? You yell fire in a movie theater. So I went back and watched it. I watched the speech. I said, okay, let me see if that's if a inciting of violence really happened, an incitement. And I watched Larkin, and I watched, and I just, did I miss something? Is there a part of the speech I missed? So in the year 2021, Mark, a politician, president, saying to his supporters to be tough and show strength is now an incitement of violence. In the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, Michael, there was a man named Lavrenty Beria. Lavrenty Beria was the head of the police state for Joseph Stalin. If only Patton had been allowed to go to Moscow after the Allies defeated the Nazis, Patton would have went right into Moscow, Mark, took Stalin by that head of hair and lopped his head right off. World history might have been a little different. Lavrenty Beria is the one, Michael, who coined the phrase, show me a man and I'll show you his crime.
That's right.
Where was the incitement, Larkin? Where was it?
I listen, you're 100% right. I didn't see it.
Peaceable assembly?
I am not here.
Incitement?
But
I'm not here in any way, shape, or form to defend Donald Trump. I thought it didn't have anything to do with what led up to it, but he obviously didn't have the insight to figure out. He needs to go. I mean, there's no question. He needs to go. He just needs to go. He incites himself. He is the great inciter, and it's not good for this country.
Right.
It certainly isn't good for this country right now. So to keep him around in Washington arguing and fighting for the opposition is just silly. I am not defending Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form. And I think he couldn't possibly, after they hit the Capitol, he couldn't possibly have handled it any worse. He couldn't possibly.
All right, Larkin.
It rises to the level of impeachment, though.
Well,
he
suggested an insurrection is what the main thing they're trying to say. But the biggest
but
problem
what
is.
What rise to the level of impeachment, though? Based on the constitutional standard, does it rise to the level of impeachment?
And I always look at these issues by saying, do I want to be the defense attorney or do I want to be the plaintiff? And in this case, I'd love to be the defense attorney because there's no way in hell you are going to declare an impeachable act indicating, you know, by what he said to that crowd. I'm sorry. But it makes you scratch your head when you take a look at how he handled it once it started. He should have gotten in a car and driven up there himself and told those people to go home. And instead he started making excuses for him. I'm not here in defense of Donald Trump.
Larkin, you're right. Curated. He should have taken the bull by the horn. But there's one more thing that has to be addressed here, too. I understand that the FBI and some of the other national Twitters and all knew that there was going to be a mass gathering in Washington, and they did not take action in advance. That I find very difficult to understand, because anything to protect the American way, the Capitol or any other place, is what they should be doing. There, look at this. They sent over thousands and thousands of National Guard to Washington to protect Washington in preparation for the inauguration of President Biden and Vice President Harris. I mean, this is what, as soon as there's some kind of a problem detected, you take action. If your roof is leaking, you don't just say, oh, well, I'll wait till the next storm to plug the leak. If your tire is flat, you fix it so that you can ride on. There are people that are have to be questioned through this. I don't want the national media to sweep this under the rug. I'm not here to promote Donald Trump or anybody else. It could happen to Trump. It could have happened to Obama. It could have happened to Clinton. It could have happened to anybody. The fact of the matter is we're paying agencies of every type to do a job, and they did not do their job. And every one of them. Now, states are mayors and governors of states are looking into the people who were there, people that maybe even work for the cities and the states to see, were they there at the Capitol during this destruction? And if they were they supposed to be working that day? Did they take a day off? Were they out sick? I think that we have to start looking at what's really going on in this world. And we also have to start talking up maybe the inauguration of President Biden next Wednesday will be our opportunity to turn the page and start asking the new president and the new vice president the questions. What are they doing for America and American workers? What are they doing to address poverty? If a person has a job, whether it's the best job or a medium job, they're able to feel good about themselves and support themselves in a better way than standing in a welfare line or a food line or whatever is out there for these people that have no hope and no future. And living in America, how is it possible that somebody can tell me, Michael, a lot of people in America have no hope and no future? How is that possible? Don't they detect that when they're in 7th grade, 10th grade, or ready to graduate? Come on, we got to get with the program. The people in Washington have to be put on the carpet. And maybe it's time for us, the American people, to pull the red carpet from under them. Because they really don't understand. And you know who I mean. Nancy Pelosi, number one. Mitch McConnell, blah, 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 himself. He is absolutely one that drives me insane. I don't understand it. Mark, let me turn to Mark for a minute. We can't talk about, I work in human services. When a person requests a service from me, whether it's information referral or direct assistance, political party never comes up. I ask them, how are you doing? Is there something that we can help you with so that you can live your life better than you have it, or at least to the quality you have it today? We never come in here and say, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you an independent? No, that's not what it's all about. Mark, if a customer comes to your store, you don't ask them, what are you, a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent? No, you don't do that. All you do is want to sell them the item so that you can keep your people employed and keep your business viable. Mark, tell us everything.
How you doing, guys? And Rich will get back to you. You know, thanks, Mike, Larkin, welcome, and Rich, and Henry, thanks for making us sound good, as always. The number one problem to me, you got to unite people. You know, so they got to figure that out, how we're going to unite people. My question for you guys is, what the media is missing is, why did the people go down to Washington January 6th? I think they're missing the whole, you know, why they went there. So that's going to be my question to use, but also I'm talking to my daughter, Jessie, 18, and she don't want to be judged for liking Donald Trump or her friends. The division is there. A lot of different things. The media just don't get it to me. They're way off kilter. I'm talking to a lot of people from my parents at 84 to business owners. A lot of different things going on, and you know what? A lot of them love Donald Trump still and more, if not more, and they just don't like, they're missing the whole problem, why all them people gathered down there. And I want your opinion, but it's really corruption, and they have no trust in the government or in the election system or in the media. And they are so missing. Generally, you got to find the disconnect. You have to address the problem, and that's how you move forward. So they are so thrown off. We watched cities destroyed over the last year. We watched Hillary burn tapes. So, you know, this is all, you know, more stuff they're selling you, the corrupt mega media outfit. I'm praying that a new media outfit opens. Maybe it's called the Accurate News. And we get who, what, where, when, why. And we get the truth. But they are totally, guys, missing what's going on in Washington. We have to unite people. That has to be, you know, maybe a third party, maybe it's time. But they're not getting it. So my question to you guys is, why did they march and why did they show up January 6th down in Washington?
The first reason they went, because it was the verification of the ballots from the states to designate President
Biden. Did they trust the election, Mike?
No, they didn't trust the election.
They were happy?
No, this is the problem in the whole country. The pandemic, allowed this nightmare to start. There should be legislation and an amendment that it can be only in-person voting, even if we have to extend it 2 days or 3 days, only in person, and only if you mail in, it is because of severe disabilities. This is no longer something we can do.
Mark, over a million people were there, Mike, and I just want to say, if they want to light a fire, if they impeach Donald Trump, they're going to light a match.
Well, that's why I say this is going to be just another, the beginning of a nightmare if they do. Already the man will be in Washington for the next 7 days, and goodbye, good luck. I mean, he'll be there for 7 days, and thank you, Donald. You kept us out of war. You helped bring about more jobs in the United States, bring attention to American workers. Thank you. You did your job. Goodbye. Now the people decided on a new president. Let's see what he's going to do. But I think we have to question him on a regular basis, and the vice president and Pelosi and whoever will be all the other leadership in the country. They've been allowed to just go high, wide, and handsome for too many years. While people were just pushed aside, the national media, I'll give you a good example. As I called around to try to get us more publicity for National Small Business Month during December, I will say collectively, every person in the media said, well, what kind of budget do you have for us to promote it? I said, well, we have a very small budget. It is an idea run by a small group of people, but we're trying to promote it to help local businesses. Well, you know, we have a lot of big businesses that advertise with us, and they may not take too much of a fancy to us promoting small businesses over the big businesses that advertise. So I got the message, and I was able to then go to some of the outlets that promote the National Small Business Weekend and my weekly commentaries, and that number of stations and people on the radio is growing, not falling by the wayside, but growing, because they want to hear something positive. And just like you, Mark, you're a perfect example. And by the way, Mark, thank you for that beautiful T-shirt. I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross.
Amen.
I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. I received that beautiful parcel from Mark Andel, his store, and also thank you for the original 1776 barbecue sauce. And in fact, I want you to check out Mark Andel's store. It's right there on the front page of American Workers Radio. Click on that link. But more important, to learn more about Mark, you know, just go to the radio show link. It's right under the Made in America sign on the right side of the page. Click on that, and it goes to Mark's weekly show. It's aired every Saturday morning at 9:30 in the morning from Buffalo, New York. However, if you live at a distance, you're not going to get the station, but you can get it right from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and just click on his rebroadcasts. Mark, you give a positive message. You talk to people who are in the manufacturing end of it. You know, they give you positive things. You talk very good about American workers keeping jobs. Can you tell me, Mark, why more people aren't doing what you're doing, what we're doing on this broadcast?
Well, Mike, I want to say one thing. Larkin's always saying, hey, we address, we look at the problems, but we need answers. So I'm saying, hey, you got to unite the people. We got to figure that out as a country. And then I said, you know, we always agreed people need a purpose. I said, our children need a purpose, but we need a purpose. Free's not good. Giving people free money, and I worry about the new administration, free gives idle time. That's not good. Having a job that we push, we want everybody to have a job, but we really want everybody to have a job so they have a purpose. They don't. It's not for the monetary value. It is. You need the livelihood to keep your lights on, but you also need a purpose. You need to contribute to something and feel good about it and earn a dollar. So that's what the Made in America movement's all about. That's what my store's all about. It's not an R thing or a D thing. It's about earning a living, building something, building your country, 50-50 fair trade, getting back that middle class that's so missed. And I think that is the answer to uniting people and bringing people together. And if they miss that this time again, here we go.
But it's going to be, as you said, up to the people. You know, Mark, and everyone listening, we've all had full Democrat or full Republican leaderships in Washington before, in the House, the Senate, and the White House, the whole deal. Let's allow the people that make up the 2021 majority in those national offices to show us what they're going to do now with the majority of leadership. Quite frankly, I don't think the American people are just going to fall all over them as they did in the past. There are too many good people in the system trying to promote jobs for themselves. And by the way, if you have children and grandchildren, you want a future for those kids. You want to go to heaven or hell knowing that those kids are taken care of, that they have some future. Not that they're going to be waiting for food stamps or anything like that. You want them to have a future. The whole education system has to be reviewed in America. You know, when I was in school and when Larkin was in school, they ask point blank questions when you were in seventh grade. What do you feel you'd be best to do as an adult? What are you liking to do? We used to have to fill out a form every year into high school. What we're looking to do so that those counselors and those teachers could put you on a course of guidance.
I have a solution, though, Michael.
Yes?
I have a solution. And the solution is called the 10th Amendment. Here in the state of Florida, as Larkin knows, we are a state with a great governor, a pretty decent legislature, could be better, but could be worse. And we emphasize here, Michael, education opportunities, public education, private and parochial schools that qualify can get partial state funding, which is taxpayers. My child attends a parochial school, Mark, and is partly paid by state funds. Charter school opportunities, Michael, increasing in Florida. Now, it's important that we make sure, and I've talked about it with Larkin. We're going to work in the state of Florida to make it harder to vote or to make it harder to run for office, because all those malignant cancerous cells coming from the Northeast and the West Coast who suck dry the marrow from fertile fields and fundamentally transform them into Ellingtonian wastelands of barrenness are all aiming for our state, Larkin.
Yep.
You know, kind of like ISIS. Kind of like ISIS, right? Starts in one country, and next thing you know, they're in 10. Nomadic. Malignant cancerous cells that seek to outnumber, overtake, and overwhelm healthy cells. Happy New Year to everybody.
You know, Rich, this is going...
I'm just full of joy today. What can I say, Michael? That's your answer.
This is going to be...
I understand your pleas. What you're pleading for, we're in agreement with. But how we think we're going to get there is where we probably have to recalibrate.
You know, Rich, you're right.
Washington, D.C. is gone.
Richard, you're right. But you know,
they're not going to do anything, Michael, that you're asking and pleading for them to do. They're not going to do that.
But if they do it, it's only going to be in the areas where they are. Could you imagine if they would have worked? My daughter said this to me. If they would have worked with Donald Trump for 4 years, could you imagine where we'd be?
Right. I agree. And I hope.
Mike, with the economy and everything, if they would have worked with them one day in 4 years.
Well, this is true. And, the media who has the main anger fest with any person.
All they sell.
That's all they sell is anger. You know, I can't listen to a lot of the shows. If I even have a little bit of time, I turn it on. Within minutes, I have to turn it off because it's the same thing being fed to me. Anger, anger, anger. There's not a suggestion made that says this is what we're going to do to help this particular state or that particular state. You know, Richard, I have to tell you this. What has to be done with the educational system is get it back to where the people are assisted with their education, whether they go to private, public, or parochial schools. The reason is we're all paying tax dollars. The parochial school people that support parochial schools, they're paying their tax dollars. The people that don't want to be going to parochial or private schools, they're paying their dollars. I think schools should be a place where you get an education, you're not stressed out by funds. Take, for instance, in the state of Pennsylvania, you could send your child to a parochial school. You have to pay that $10,000 on your own, and yet you're still paying the school tax for children to go to the private schools or the public schools. That doesn't make sense to me. Everybody should have the money for the education for their child, follow their child. That's what I agree. But that has to be done through some kind of an amendment. That way everybody knows that this is how it was. I believe the president in the last year was suggesting something with this, the funding dollars, follow your child no matter which type of school they are qualified for. If a person's qualified for this school, they should be able to go there without the nightmare of having, you know, double the money put upon them. It's impossible to do it. This is America. The most important thing we should focus on is education, number one, and jobs for our people, number two. And number three is, why have we reached this level of poverty in America? Other countries, their poverty level went down big time because their people have jobs. They're there getting our foreign work. They're taking our jobs. They're making our stuff, shipping it over here. Our people are borrowing money to buy it. This is the nightmare scenario we've created. We've allowed wars to continue in this country. A war went on for 20 years. 20 years almost. We've been paying for that war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Mitch McConnell, Nancy, and whoever else was in those main positions should have said, no, we are bringing a stop to this. We are bringing a stop to this. We cannot allow our money, our people, our young people to be sacrificed. What is the bottom line? I just had a discussion with someone yesterday, and they said to me, well, the pandemic and this and that. I said, okay, can you please tell me as a professional, can you tell me what do you know more about the virus today than we knew about the virus back in April or May? Can you tell me? And they said, no. I said, yet you are a professional in the field, in the medical field. Well, it was a very, you know, I said, no.
Mike, I've got a local town that's full of elites and arrogant people, but they won't admit they have a heroin problem, but we know it.
Well,
it's the same thing. Mike,
it's the same thing.
They won't admit it. They won't turn themselves in. They're all selfish.
And, go ahead, Larkin.
Let me introduce a new thought that to me is the critical point about where we are in D.C. right now. When is the last time that anybody heard, read, saw on network news anything about the help we're sending the American worker in the form of government checks in order to make it through the pandemic? Where'd that conversation go to?
Yeah,
we're not even discussing that.
No,
no,
it's not even important.
And Larkin, you'll love this. You'll love this because Rich always said elections have consequences. So in oil and mining and our military work, we lose $5 million in sales, half my business. Right, didn't show up. We have no POs. But it's funny, you don't hear like the new PPP plan, but you need a 25% loss or else you don't qualify. So there's issues, but there's issues in the business. I mean, they got so much fallout. They're, like you said, they're not talking about that's happening right now with local businesses.
Oh, the entire economy is threatened to fall apart, and especially the small business economy. And they're talking about impeaching a president
yes.
that will leave office in less than a week. Now,
that'll refuel a fire. That
look
know,
at the resources being wasted. Totally wasted.
Our money. You know, they ought to be ashamed of themselves.
And you
they
know,
ought to be ashamed of themselves.
You know, especially the events that took place last week. There's no reason for us to ever say anything. They disrespected every American. They stormed our Capitol, causing death and damage. There's no excuse for what happened. It only accomplished
Absolutely.
More hate and division in our country. And by the way, America and American workers are going to have to pay for all the repairs that I feel were known to officials in America long before. Maybe Donald Trump didn't know they were going to come with guns and hammers and hacksaws, but maybe someone else did. I'm told today in listening on the radio that there were a lot of notices in advance on these various international communication forums, Twitter, Facebook, the whole deal. If that's the case, they should have taken action. Why didn't they take action?
Michael, serious question for everybody. Serious question. Does it state anywhere in the Constitution that the potential for violence or the potential for a crime being committed is a reason that a constitutional right should be abridged and infringed upon? Does
no.
Does it say that anywhere?
No.
Mark, in the Constitution?
No. It only says...
Larkin?
No.
Can you imagine asking that question? If you ask that question to most voters in the country, Larkin, we would have 9 people being able to vote, to which I would say, hallelujah, amen, because as I remind everyone who tells me that making it harder to vote would result in fewer people, my response is always, end. Because when I hear that, and this is the premise, Michael, of my article that's coming out tomorrow, which is entitled, Will America Survive Her Attempted Suicide? When I write this, I always can hear, Mark, the conditioning that all of us have been subjected to. It's just a question of breaking free from the manacles of the conditioning. All of us have been conditioned to romanticize democracy as a Grecian pursuit of august Jeffersonian nobility and erudition. Although, of course, Jefferson himself never said that democracy was an august Grecian pursuit of erudition and nobility. As a matter of fact, the framers all told us that in the end, democracies typically murder themselves. So making it harder to vote or making it harder to run for office, which is, a decent plan B. What the reasons are, Michael, here's the revelation for today. Let me tell you why the presidential election and why the 2 Senate seats in Georgia were lost. You ready for the reason? Everyone ready? You sitting down? Pouring your Jack Daniels into that morning coffee. You ready, Mark? Here's why. Republicans who didn't vote. That's why. That's why, Larkin.
You know, you're right. You know, next
That's
week.
The reason, though, Michael. That's the reason based on the numbers, the data, the evidence. All that matters in the adult world is numbers, math, reason, evidence, data, logic, contracts, and facts. Worthless opinions are just that, worthless. That's why we lost, Larkin.
You know, Rich,
I
want to say this to you. Election defeat is hard to accept by anyone. It's hard all the time. It's happened in America on a regular basis. But we can't have people in America living in bitterness They have to make things better. They have to unite behind America. Next Wednesday, during our broadcast, they will be preparing to do the inauguration of the president. Maybe can each of you take a few minutes this weekend? If you had the opportunity to speak directly to President Biden, what would you like to say to him? Of course, focusing on American workers. Let's devote a little bit of time. I'm sure, Mark, you can come up with several things you would like to suggest. Larkin, also a person involved with SCORE and so many positive events and ventures to help people. Rich, you're a businessman. You're out there with the people. I'd like to see what we would like to ask the newly elected president and vice president, what they should do. Should they just fall for everything that Nancy and whoever is going to be in the leadership in Washington, or should they go above? And should we hold President Biden to his words that he is looking out for American workers to build back better, which is his campaign slogan? I think we should discuss that. Can we do that next week? I think it's a good idea. Well, so, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's getting to that time. I want to say a special thank you to Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and also I'd like to encourage you to listen to the Mark Andel Show, the Made in America Show. Go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on that. You'll see what I'm talking about. And remember, get that shirt. I love that shirt. I stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. Mark Andel, you cheered me up when I opened that package. That awesome. Was a great, great package for me to receive, and I'm going to place it so that everybody that walks in our door can see it.
You know what else is a beautiful thing? The Buffalo Bills are winning, guys, and it's uniting people up here, and we need it. Have a great week.
Have a great one. God bless you. God bless America. And don't forget, support American Made. Look for that American Made label and speak up in behalf of American Made everywhere you shop. Have a great one. Until next Wednesday at 11, or this Saturday at 11. Have a great one.